Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Oh, hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, we're going to open and read from the book of Luke, the 7th chapter, Luke chapter 7 and verse number 18. And I'm also going to read one verse of scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But let's first turn our attention to Luke chapter 7 and verse number 18. Didn't this praise and worship team do an excellent job leading us into the presence of the Lord? The atmosphere is charged and ready, and I know God has a word for us. Luke chapter 7, verse number 18. This is what the Bible says. It says, "And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come? Look we for another. When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come? Look we for another. And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things you have seen and heard. Tell him that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached." They said, "We need to know if you are really the one." And Jesus said, "Well, you just go back and you tell them what's happened. Tell them that the blind are seeing again, the deaf are hearing again, the lame are walking, the poor have the gospel." Now let's fast forward now to Hebrews 11 and verse number 6 from the great faith chapter of the Word of God. This is what it says, "But without faith," somebody say faith, "but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Here the apostle said the first step before you can do anything else, you got to believe that God is real. You got to confess that with your mouth, that he is real. But then the second step was just as important as the first. You got to believe that he's going to reward you if you seek after him. So just as important as believing that God is real, you got to believe that he's going to bless you if you seek after him. And I want to preach to us today on this subject, finding everything you've been looking for. Finding everything you've been looking for. Could you lift your hands? Could you raise your voice? Let's pray together. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to speak to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your spirit that's here. Thank you for your anointing that's rested upon the Sunday school teachers and the musicians and the singers. But God, we're praying right now that you would anoint your word. Let it go and accomplish that which is sent to do. We know it's not going to return void. And we give you praise and thanks in advance in the name that's above every other name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing with me. Well, we're reading here in this 7th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, and we are really coming in on the middle of a story. This story is being centered around an individual named John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a preacher of sorts, but he was not your everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill kind of preacher. John was different and distinct. John was unique and unusual. He would go off to the middle of the wilderness, and he would eat locusts and honey. He would go to where nobody was at, and he would start to preach. And when he would begin his sermon, all he would wear was a leather girdle. Now, come on, somebody. When this brother got up to preach, all that he wore was a leather girdle. You've got to admit, that's a little odd. That's borderline weird. Let's just real talk now. That's definitely different. And to make matters even worse, he wasn't very politically correct. He wasn't very polished. You had to be careful asking John what he thought, because he was not one to back down in the slightest. He would address a group of religious leaders and said, "You men are snakes. You are vipers. If you were waiting on John to pull punches, you'd be waiting a long time." And so, knowing how this man would act, knowing how he would dress, and knowing how he would speak, you would think that when people would see him coming, they would run in the opposite direction. But it actually worked the exact opposite way. People would come from all over. They would travel from other towns and cities because they wanted to see, they wanted to hear, and they wanted to experience the ministry of John the Baptist. That tells us something. It tells us that whenever the truth of God's word is preached, it may not always come the way you want it to come, and it may not always come from the man you think it should come from, but there is something that happens in the hearts of humanity when the truth is preached. There is something that ignites in the spirit and in the soul of mankind when God's word is proclaimed, when it is pronounced, and when it is preached. John, that even though he was unique and unusual, he was also powerful and persuasive. Even though John was different and distinct, there was also an authority and an anointing on his life that nobody could dismiss. John knew how to preach with power. John knew how to preach with fire. John knew how to preach with passion. He knew how to speak the word. Hey, when the word of God is spoken, and when the word of God is loosed, Isaiah 40:8 says, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Matthew 24:35 said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." John would preach the word. And Luke 3:4, he said, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." John would begin to preach, and rumors would begin to spread. By the time John was finished with his sermon, there were conversations being held in the shadows. There were those that were talking among themselves. How can John preach with such anointing? How can John preach with such authority? How can John draw crowds in the middle of the wilderness where nobody is at? And the more they spoke, the more convinced they became. The reason why John is so anointed. The reason why people come from all over to hear his ministry is because John the Baptist is actually the Christ. John the Baptist is actually the Savior of the world. So they decide to approach him. They're going to ask him the question that everybody else is thinking. When they find John, they started out by saying, John, we already know who you are. John, you don't have to convince us. We already know. But would you just go ahead and settle any doubt that may be in others' minds? Would you just go ahead and clear it up? Would you tell us once and for all, John, we need to know something. Are you the one? Do you know, brothers and sisters, that could have been John's moment in glory. That could have been the moment he said, get your iPhone out and go live. I got an announcement for the world. But that's not what he said. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John said, if you think I'm powerful, you ought to wait just a little while longer, because there's somebody coming after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm unworthy to stoop down in a loose. He's going to do more than give you good religion. He's going to offer you more than membership to a church. He's not just going to shake your hand and send you on your way. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John said, I'm not the one, but he's on the way. So John just kept on doing what he had always done, preaching down by the River Jordan with the crowds gathered around, with the people in expectation and anticipation. John is in the middle of his sermon. But when he lifts up his eyes and he looks, he sees Jesus coming down the road. He cuts his sermon just a little short. He ends his message a little premature, and he points in the direction of Jesus, and he says, that's the one right there. That's the one the prophets prophesied about. That's the one that we have preached about. That's the one we've been waiting on and hoping for. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. That's the one that's going to change your life. That's the one that's going to alter your destiny. That is the one that's going to brighten your future. He began to lift him high. He began to promote him to the people. He said, look no further. You don't have to go anywhere else, and you don't have to look to anyone else. There he is in the flesh. That's the one. That's Adam's redeemer and Abel's vindicator. That's Abraham's sacrifice. That's Noah's ark. That's Jacob's star. That's Joseph's dream. That's Gideon's captain. That's Samson's strength. That's Joshua's champion. That's Deborah's authority. That's Esther's integrity. There's David's music and Solomon's wisdom and Micah's mercy and Malachi's messenger and Isaiah's prince. And he's the Jeremiah's balm, and he's Ezekiel's wheel, and he's Elijah's fire. There he is. He's ready to take the baton and pass it off. He's ready to send all of his followers to Jesus. He's ready to fade off and let Jesus shine bright. Jesus walks up to him. And the very first words out of his mouth, he says, John, baptize me. John just kind of looked at him like he was crazy. Looked at him like he had lost his mind. What are you talking about? No, what do you mean? You want me to baptize you? Jesus, no. If there's anybody that needs to do the baptizing, you should be baptizing me. This doesn't make any sense. Jesus looked at John and said, John, in order to fulfill all righteousness, you must baptize me. Hey, and I look at that and I think to myself, if Jesus himself, the one that never told a lie, Jesus, the one that never said a cuss word, Jesus, the one that never stole something that wasn't his, Jesus, the one that never made a mistake and never stumbled and never sinned, Jesus, the one that never messed up or tripped up or goofed up, Jesus, the one who is without error and without fault and without issue, said, no, you've got to baptize me. Then I would think to myself, surely I know what I need to do. There's not a person on the face of this planet that's done enough good, that's lived perfect enough, that could say if Jesus needed to be baptized, then surely we need to be baptized. He said, you've got to baptize me. Okay, I'll do it, Jesus. I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving, and I'm not adequate for this job, but I'll baptize you. And so John takes Jesus down to the river, and right there in that moment, something began to happen. A surreal moment began to transpire. It felt like it was a dream. Felt like this was more than reality. John is getting ready to baptize Jesus, and all of a sudden, before he can put him down in the water, God begins to speak in an audible voice and says, this is my beloved son. John starts looking around and he looks up and the Holy Ghost starts falling down in a bodily form like a dove. You talk about bragging rights. John had bragging rights. You want to say you had good Sunday service. John said, I'm not trying to one-up you, but I was the one that God spoke in an audible voice. Don't tell me about your service. I saw the Holy Ghost come in a bodily form like a dove. Hey, I was on cloud nine. I was on the next level. I was in a special place in the spirit. I got to be there. I was the one that baptized Jesus. I was the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God. You would think with an experience like that, there would never be another doubt in your mind. You would think with such a moment like that, John would never question. John would never worry. John would never fear. But it's what leads us to our text in Luke, the 7th chapter. And it tells us that John was now sitting in a prison cell. John was being persecuted for preaching righteousness in an unrighteous world. And if you want to stir up the enemy, start preaching righteousness to people. Start preaching what you should do and what you shouldn't do. You're going to find out who your friends and your enemies really are. John's sitting in a jail cell, knowing his life is about to end, knowing that he's about to become a martyr, knowing that his days are numbered. And he calls his closest disciples. He calls the ones that he trained and worked with. And when they visit him in this jail, John instructs them. He said, I want you to go out and find Jesus. Wherever you got to go, and no matter how long you've got to look, if you got to run up to the mountains, if you got to run to the valley, if you look near and if you have to look far, you find where Jesus is at. And when you find him, I want you to ask him this question. You ask him, are you the one? hang on a second. John, weren't you there when you said, behold, the Lamb of God? John, weren't you present when the heavens opened up and God spoke in an audible voice? John, weren't you there when the Holy Ghost fell in a bodily form like a dove? John, weren't you an eyewitness to Jesus coming on the scene? But can I preach to us today that sometimes life can mess you up? Life sometimes can get tough. Is there anybody that knows that to be true? Life can be turbulent. Life can be trying. Life can steal your fire. It can steal your passion. It can steal your energy. It can steal your zeal. It can steal your knowledge. Just let a diagnosis come to your world that rocks you, and all of a sudden your faith doesn't seem so close. Let a loved one be taken out early, and before you know it, your faith starts to become just a little shaky. John calls his disciples and says, I need to know one more time. I need to know if I need to be looking for somebody else, if I need to be searching for somebody else, or if I need to not look any longer. You go and you come back and you tell me what he says. All right. So these disciples leave and they finally locate where Jesus is at. They come to him, and I would venture a guess that they started the conversation out by saying, we've been sent by John the Baptist. You know, the one that gave you your following, the one that said, he must increase and I must decrease, the one that handed you the baton, the one that proclaimed you the Savior, the one that pronounced you as the Lamb of God. And John needs to know something today. He needs to know, are you the one? And do you know, Jesus didn't answer them a word. He just began to work. And sometimes when you need to know if God is still on your side, let me preach to somebody for a moment. And if you need to know that God is still for you, and that God is still ordering your footsteps, and God has not forsaken you, and God has not deserted you, and God has not forgotten about you, he won't always speak to you in an audible voice, and he might not send an angel to knock on your door, but I can assure you what will happen. He'll begin to move in your life. Jesus said, I'm not going to answer. I'm just going to work. And that's how God wants to move today. He may not speak to you. He may not open up the heavens and talk to you. He'll begin to navigate and work in your life. He'll work on your job. He'll work on your school. He'll send ministers. He'll send brothers. He'll send sisters. He'll send believers into your life. Jesus began to heal. He began to work, and he began to deliver. And then he began to speak and say, if John needs to know who I am, you go and you tell him that the blind are seen. You go back and you tell him that the deaf are hearing. You go back and tell him that the lame are walking and the mute are talking. You go back and tell him that the dead are coming back to life and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Hey, if you want to know how real God is, you are surrounded by witnesses right now. Is there anybody that knows that God is a healer? Is there anybody that knows that God is a deliverer? Is there anybody that knows God is a prayer answerer? That God is a miracle worker? That God can do the impossible? Hey, I want to let somebody know that your circumstance is not too complicated and your situation is not too severe and your crisis is not too critical and your issue is not too impossible, that God cannot step in and bring deliverance. Hey, Psalm 34 and 17 says he can deliver you from trouble. Psalm 34 and 4 said he can deliver you from fear. Colossians 1:13, he can deliver you from darkness. 2 Corinthians 1:10, he can deliver you from death. Matthew 6:13, he can deliver you from evil. 2 Peter 2:9, he can deliver you out of temptation. Psalm 107 and 6, he can deliver you out of distress. Psalm 91 and 3, he can deliver you out of your sickness. There's nothing that God can't deliver you from. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he can deliver you from your past. Romans 8, 1, he can deliver you from your shame. Galatians 1, 4, he can deliver you from the world. Mark 5, 13, he can deliver you from troubling spirits. Psalm 18, 17, he can deliver you out of your enemy. There is no situation that God... What kind of deliverance do you need? Daniel 6:22, he can give you a lion's den kind of deliverance. Daniel 3:17, he can give you a fiery furnace kind of deliverance. Acts 12 and 7, he can give you a chain breaking kind of deliverance. Acts 16:26, he can give you a prison cell kind of deliverance. Exodus 16 and 4, he can give you a manna from heaven kind of deliverance. Romans 6:14, he can give you a freedom from sin kind of deliverance. He can do it right now. He can do it right on time. Don't tell me God can't step in. Ask the man that was possessed by 3,000 spirits in Mark chapter 5. Ask the man that was suicidal. Ask the man that had low self-esteem. Ask the man that hurt himself and hurt others. But when he heard that Jesus was coming by, even though he was suicidal, even though he was depressed, even though he was battling on every hand, even though he had 3,000 spirits pulling him every direction, Jesus came walking by. And what 3,000 devils could not stop, one man could really do. Does not matter what you are facing in this life. I feel the Holy Ghost ministering to somebody right now. Does not matter if your faith is uncertain. Does not matter if you've got questions in your mind. Does not matter the battles that you are fighting. Does not matter the circumstance that you are in. Does not matter the situation that you are in. I'm telling you, if you search for Jesus and if you want to know if he's still the answer, and if you want to know if he's still the solution, and if he's still the remedy, and if he's still the cure, and he's still the antidote, I encourage you, try him and see. And see if he is not everything, everything that you are looking for. But you got to try him. Jesus tells this funny thing about him. He doesn't make you believe. He's not going to make you come to an altar. He's not going to make you live for him. He's just like he's not going to make you worship. And he's not going to make you praise. And he's not going to make you lift your hands. And he's not going to make you bow your knee. But if you want to know if he's real, and if you want to know if he's alive, if you want to know if he's everything you're searching for, try him and see. It's something that has baffled the minds of people for years. Is there more to this life than what I have right now? It's not a question that's exclusive to 2026. It's not a question that only this generation is facing, but even dating back thousands and hundreds of years, there was a desire for more. A desire, is there something more to this life? All the way back in the fifth century B.C., we find history tells us about a man by the name of Herodotus. And Herodotus wanted to know if there was more. And he began to write about a magical and mystical fountain off the coast of the Horn of Africa. He began to write about a fountain that had special powers. A fountain that if you were to drink its water, you would be able to stay forever young. That if you were to drink of its water, you would never get sick, and you would never get tired, and you would never get worn out. He called this special place the Fountain of Youth, and it created a hunger and a desire in so many. Some of the most notable men in the world, some of the most powerful individuals on the planet, men like Alexander the Great, who conquered the known world, Alexander the Great, who destroyed nation after nation, who defeated army after army, who treasures and riches exceeded none of those that came before or after. Alexander the Great, who had everything in the world. He had power. He had money. He had fame. He had notoriety. He had popularity. He had prestige. But yet history tells us he was searching for more. Because I'm going to tell you, you can have everything this world has to offer. You can have all the silver and the gold. You can have all the money and the entertainment. You can have the pleasures of life. But when you've enjoyed everything there is to enjoy, you're still going to search for more. And Alexander the Great heard about this fountain of youth, and decided to spend his treasure searching for it. He had already defeated armies. He had already conquered navies. And so he began to spend his treasure. He began to deplete his resources. He began to travel from country to country. He began to go from continent to continent, searching for this magical and mystical fountain. It wasn't just Alexander the Great, but men like Ponce de Leon, who had traveled the known world, began to have a fascination. Surely I can find this fountain. Surely it has to exist. Surely there's more to this life than what I have now. But isn't it so sad and unfortunate that people will search their entire life for something they'll never be able to find? Isn't that unfortunate that Alexander the Great depleted his treasure and spent his money and went through all that he had searching for something that he would never be able to find? But today, can I let you know there is a fountain? Now, it's not the fountain of youth, but Psalm 36 and 9 said it's the fountain of life. It's the fountain that never runs dry. It's the fountain that satisfies the longing soul. It's the fountain that quenches the thirsty spirit. It's the fountain that you are searching for, even when you don't know you're searching for it. Hey, when you're hungry, John 6:35 says there's a bread of life. When you're thirsty, John 7:38 says there's a living water that never runs dry. When you're tired, Isaiah 28:12 says there's a rest that causes the weary to rest. When you're weak, Psalm 28:7 says there's someone who's a strength and a shield. When you are lonely, Proverbs 18:24 says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Everybody's searching for him. They just don't know what they're searching for. You know what the drug addict is looking for? He's looking for a high, a nirvana that can get him above his trouble. But if he can't find it in the needle, and if he can't find it in the pill, if he would turn to Jesus, he would find a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Hey, you know what the intellectual man is looking for? He's searching for knowledge. He's searching for truth. But if he can't find it in the hallways of the universities, if he would turn to Jesus, Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. And I am the life. You know what the Buddhist man is looking for? He's looking for tranquility and he's looking for harmony. But if he can't find it in his meditation and if he can't find it in his yoga, if he would just turn to Jesus, he would find a peace that passes all understanding. Hey, is there somebody that would lift your hands to the Lord for a moment and say, I'm searching for you? Is there somebody today that would lift up your voice and say, I'm looking for him? Come on, the answer is close. Hey, the cure is close. The solution is close today. If you would just look to Jesus. Psalm 116:1 says to just love the Lord. Psalm 119:97 says to love his word. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says to love his truth. 1 John 4:11 says to love his people. John 13:35 says to love one another. Ephesians 5:25 says to love his church. Matthew 22:37 says to love God with all your heart. Love God with all your soul. Love God with all your mind. And 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. He loved you when you were lost. He loved you when you were away from him. He loved you when you were questioning your faith. He loved you when you were sinking in your sin. He loved you when you were drowning in your despair. He loved you when you were doubting if he was real. He loves you. And the apostle said, if you will believe that he's real, and if you will believe that he will bless you if you seek after him. Today, as I come to a close and as the music begins to come, I'm reminded of what the prophet said in the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Hey, the Lord is in this place today, and you don't have to look any further. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to search for a mystical fountain. You don't have to look for a magical place that does not exist. If you would just turn to Jesus, you would find everything. You would find everything you were looking for. You would find the peace. You would find the joy. You would find the tranquility. You would find the harmony. You would find a purpose for living. You would find that he is everything that you need. He is real today. And the apostle said this in the book of Acts. If you would just reach out to him, you would find out he's not that far. If you would just lift your hands And if you would just close your eyes, and if you would offer up a sincere prayer, you would find that he's really not that far away. Because in him we live, and in him we move, and in him we have our being. I wonder today, could you stand with me all across the house? Could you stand with me as every head is bowed and every eye is closed with nobody looking around? I think if we would bring in the woman with the issue of blood, she would say, when I found Jesus, found everything I was ever looking for. I think if we would bring in that demon-possessed man, he would say, when I found Jesus, found everything I was ever looking for. I think if we would bring that blind man in John chapter 9, he would say, when I found Jesus, found everything I was looking for. And today, just take it from somebody who's been there and done that. It's not in this world. And it's not into drugs. And it's not into pills. And it's not into alcohol. And it's not in the money. And it's not in the entertainment. And it's not in anything this world could offer. But if you would just give Jesus a chance, and you would just give him a try, he would be everything that you need. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder, can you grab somebody by the hand nearby? Can you do that? Can you find somebody close? Lay your arm on their shoulder. Grab them by the hand. Maybe step out across the aisle. Find somebody nearby. Today, you don't know what that person is going through. You don't know the doubt that's in their mind. You don't know the battles that they are fighting. You don't know the sicknesses that they're trying to rise above. You're not aware of the pain that doesn't ever seem to leave. But I wonder if you can take that hand that you're connected to and you can begin to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. That's it. For a hunger. For a desire. Come on, prayer warriors. Come on, intercessors. Somebody's on the verge of making a life-altering decision. Somebody's on the verge of coming to an altar. Somebody's thinking about receiving a miracle. Somebody's thinking about receiving a healing today. Come on, somebody help me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand in the gap and I rebuke the devourer. I take authority over the prince and the power of the air. And I pray that someone in this room could decide this is the day my faith is going to be renewed. This is the day my faith is going to be reignited. This is the day my faith is going to be revived. Oh, is there somebody that would join me at an altar today? Oh, this afternoon, is there someone that could step out of where they're standing, make your way down to the front and say, I want to experience him like I never have.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.